If you would turn to John, the first chapter, today's message is Sons and Daughters of the Kingdom. John 1. It's a very familiar scripture. My prayer is that your eyes will begin to open up to the reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's read together. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believed in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You know, I was really wrestling with this message all week, and I was working on it till 10 o'clock last night. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to serve my wife by going to ShopRite. But she had a couple of her disciples go with her, and that was great. John 1, 12 and 13. Irene got it. Must be because we're in the Spirit.
Must be.
And some of the things that God was really dealing with me is, you know, how Jesus revealed to the religious leadership about the kingdom of God, and they didn't get it. And Jesus didn't preach a message that was so convoluted or complex that the regular people didn't get it, because they did get it. They came to Him in throes. And my prayer is that we begin to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know that we're saved, but to know who we are. And that's a dilemma for the church. And I imagine how Jesus, after He rose from the dead and He came back and He was walking down the road of Emmaus with the two disciples, and how they were conversing with each other. And they were talking about the events that had gone on, but they didn't understand the whole scope of why Christ came. And here's Jesus, He's walking with them and He's asking them, what's going on? Why are you guys so downtrodden? You go, oh man, are you the only person in the world that doesn't know what had happened? They killed Christ. And now we're left by ourselves. And Jesus began to open up the scriptures. The Bible says that He opened it up from Moses on through the prophets, how He should come and suffer and do these things for us. And it said their hearts burned inside them. I don't know about you, but when I start talking about the kingdom or kingdom things, my heart burns. I have a very strong desire to know the King and to know what my rights are as a kingdom person. And my desire for you is that you come to that realization that as a son or a daughter of the King, that your heart would burn for the glory of God that He's bestowed upon you. And these disciples were walking with Christ. They didn't even realize it was Christ walking with them until He broke bread with them. And when He gave them the bread, they saw the nail holes in His hands, and then He disappeared. Beam me up, Scotty. He was out of there. But they realized, and they didn't walk back to the town, because Emmaus is roughly about 6 miles away from Jerusalem. They ran back and told the disciples that the risen Lord had broken bread with them. And I imagine Jesus telling them about the kingdom. And I imagine how Jesus explained everything, how the prophets saw and continuously sought to know more about the suffering of Christ so that mankind could come back to God. And we know that in this scripture, he gave every person the right. When he died, he gave every person the right to become a child of God. Now that word right doesn't mean rights as we understand. That word means permission. He gave permission that whoever would come to him, he would make them his child. The prerequisite is they had to hear, they had to believe, and they had to receive him. The problem in the church today is we hear and we believe, but we don't receive. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf would say. I'm telling you, it is bad because that's unbelief. Any piece of unbelief will jeopardize your walk and my walk as king. And today I want to talk to you or reveal to you what it means to be a son and a daughter of the Most High. We first must hear the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, and Christ dying so that we could become participants of God's kingdom. We have to believe it, and we have to receive Jesus Christ, not as only as Savior, but as Lord also. Again, we have difficulty within the body of Christ in that we receive Him as Savior, we do not receive Him as Lord. And because we live in a society today that is democratic in its theology, we tend to bring that into our lifestyles when the truth of the matter is we do not have a democracy in the kingdom of God. It is a theocracy that is totally controlled by God. Now this brings an interesting dilemma to us. Because when we start thinking about kingdom, we think about the king, and we think about his subjects or his citizens. And the subjects or his citizens are his slaves, or they're subjected to the will of the king. And we carry this mindset that it's the king and the rest of us. Well, I'm here to tell you today that that's not how it works in the kingdom. Every person who has heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ and believed and received him as Savior and Lord immediately becomes regenerated in spirit and adopted into the family of God. Immediately. How many has been born again? Those of us that have been born again can announce that we are the king's kids. Those of you that are not born again are not his kids. That's the sad state of affairs. But I would rather tell you the truth than tell you that just because you go to church, that makes you a kingdom kid. Just because you read your Bible, just because you pretend to be religious or attend religious activities, you're a kingdom kid. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says God has given us permission. Since Christ has died, He has given us permission, the right to become His child. If we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel, and we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We become His kids. We are not His slaves. We are children. To be born of God, we become sons and family members, not just kingdom-oriented people. Family. We're a family. We are. We're family. We are closer in relationship than those of our own blood families, because the blood of Christ is more precious than the blood that flows through my veins. And because of His blood, we now are family members. If we hear the gospel, receive the gospel, and believe the gospel. Because the gospel is, you can't separate the gospel without Christ. You can't separate the king from the kingdom. You can't separate the family from other families. And so this brings us to a dichotomy. We have the saints and the ain'ts. I'm sorry, that's how I understand it. But in becoming a family, there are rights and privileges that come along or associated with being family members. Have you ever thought about that? There's rights and privileges. Okay? What is a right? A right is a just claim that is legal, moral, or ethically proper, protected by the law. Okay? That's a right. The Declaration of Independence gives us rights. Right? Do you know what your rights are as a citizen of the United States? If you don't, you need to read the document. You need to understand what the founders have said for us. As kingdom people, do you know what your rights are? That is an edict from the king. If you don't, since the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States are legal documents, this is a legal, spiritual document for all kingdom people. How many of us have read the Bible before we got saved and didn't understand it? All of us. How many of us, since becoming saved, understand it really well? All of us. You just haven't had that revelation yet. But you're still kingdom kids, right?
Right.
And it's important that we understand some things. Because I'm going to bring some scriptures to light today that are going to enlighten you about where you are presently. And why God is so desirous for His people to have the power and authority to wage war upon this planet. I heard a song the other day about being a revolutionary by David Crowder. Yeah, I love that song. It is an awesome song. We are supposed to be revolutionaries. We are supposed to be active, conducting warfare on this planet to reestablish our Father's authority and power of His kingdom here. Why isn't it happening? And I am starting at the real foundation of because you don't believe who you are. Some of the things. What is the rights we understand is a legal thing. But the king protects the rights. That is for his citizens. Our Father protects our rights as his children. He entrusts us with those rights. But the beautiful thing is, when you mature, you know those rights and you can exercise them rights. Being immature, you cannot exercise those rights because you don't understand what those rights are. It is a process. There are privileges when you come into the family of God or into any family. Families establish privileges. What is a privilege? And I'm getting these definitions out of the dictionary, and it says privileges are rights, immunities, or benefits enjoyed by a person or a group of people that are bestowed upon them by a higher authority. Think about that. What has God bestowed upon you and me? Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought, I got saved, what is it that makes me a kingdom kid? What makes it, what are my rights? What are my privileges as a son or a daughter of this awesome King of glory? And God bestows them upon us. Turn with me to Galatians 4. I don't know why the Spirit's got me going ahead, but He wants me to reveal something to you. Galatians 4. It says, in verse 1, it says, what I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by the father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Think about that. You're no longer a slave. We were slaves. We were at war with God. And when we understood the gospel, we understood that the end of our life, we are going to be judged. And if we do not live and give our lives to God for His purposes, we will benefit nothing of this life. We are destined for the lake of fire and total destruction. It doesn't matter how many good things we've done. It doesn't matter what kind of life we live. It is in rebellion to the government of heaven. And all rebels will be rounded up, punished by ultimate destruction. We are no longer under that. We are now heirs. But what are we heirs of? We're heirs of the kingdom. But what's in the kingdom? I don't know. I'm glad you guys said that. We have to get you into the mindset. My job is to get you into the mindset so that you can operate in the power and authority that I operate in. So that the power and authority that I operate in now, I may be able to grasp even greater power and authority. Not that I would use it for myself, but I would use it for the furtherance of the kingdom. You see, because it's predicated on me growing up. See, I haven't reached my full potential. And as long as I'm not reaching my full potential, I'm helping those behind me or those that come alongside of me to attain a level of maturity, I hinder the growth of the kingdom of God, not only in me, but in God's body, which is the church. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying that once we begin to realize who we are, and when we start proclaiming to the world what Jesus Christ really did for us, and that God is not angry with the world, it says in 1 John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But 3:17 is an awesome scripture also. You should read it. You should see what God has provided for us. Rights, privileges. Sons and daughters are born into a family with rights and privileges and are protected by the head of the family, or the father. Slaves are considered a commodity that are bought and sold or traded. When we were aliens to God, we were slaves.
We were bought and sold because Adam sold us into bondage. He traded his high position, and we all became slaves the moment that Satan took the title deed of this planet and became, as the scripture says, prince of this world. He has the legal right to be prince of the world. And all of us were slaves. All of us were sold into that. The problem is, when we believe the gospel and we receive the Christ and we become sons, that mentality is still in us. We're still slaves. We're still not believing that we're family members. Trust me, you are family members. God is our Father. Remember I said the Hebrew word source is Abba, which means Father in the Greek. What are some of the things that Abba does for us? Sons live in the father's house and enjoys the perks of the family relationship for a lifetime. You have the unique privilege of developing an intimate relationship with your Father in heaven. Those of you who don't know God or haven't given yourselves to God, you waste your time in praying to God because He's not your Father. He's not. I mean, I like it when Christians talk about, well, you're my brother. But do you understand what that means? When it means to sacrifice for the good of another, all of a sudden, I ain't your brother. But in the kingdom, we're of greater relationship. Slaves don't develop that relationship because their relationship is external. They relate to the Father, our Father, as master, and relate to them in a superficial way. Think about it. You know, the most heinous thing that has happened in our country was slavery. It was. But you have to keep it in context as to historically what was going on in the time. Slavery is still going on today. It's underground in this country, but it's still happening. Why? Because illegal aliens are coming in and living amongst us, taking jobs from us, and they are slaves to our economic system in order to survive here. Many in the church do the same thing. Remember I was saying that they come to church, they do this, they do that, but they don't have an intimate relationship with the Father. They're slaves. They have a superficial relationship. That's why I say that, you know, praying to God is, you know, you could pray to God, you know, but you should be praying to God to save you, which He's already done. You just need to believe and receive Christ. And you could do that today. Not to be pretentious, but really want what sons and daughters of Father's house and enjoy the perks of a family relationship for a long time. In this relationship, there is security and trust that is fostered in a relationship. I know God, and I know that He will take care of me. I trust Him. I trust what He says, because what He says, He does. There's no deviance. intention on his part. He's not the kind of guy that's going to pull the rug out of you and see you get hurt and stuff. He loves you and me tremendously that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He gave his life so that we may have eternal life to live with him forever. This relationship that we enter into is forever. It's forever. Slaves don't have that because at any time they can be destroyed or sold or traded off. We are slaves in our minds, but we have to understand we are heirs to a powerful kingdom. And enjoy the security of our relationship with God Almighty. We can enjoy in this relationship building this intimacy while slaves build a superficiality. We enjoy the benefits of this relationship of provision, security, and acceptance while slaves experience prejudice, lack, discrimination, segregation, and insecurity. In other words, we're the rich kids. We are. Because our kingdom is not of this world. We may not have all what the world has, but you know what? We have everything that's important. Those who are slaves to the things of this world believe that the boy with the most toys wins. But those of us that have learned, and I was one of them, that without peace, you have nothing. You can have peace while being discriminated against. You can have joy while being segregated and made fun of. You can be smiling and basking in your lack, knowing that you have everything. Because our Father has promised to provide for us, His children. With these privileges, we also can enjoy education, work, leisure, financial prosperity, and most importantly, status. Who has the status in this world? The rich, right? The movie stars, the athletes. They all have status because they can do things that very few others can do. And so the world puts them out there on their stage. But we have it all. We have the true status. A slave does not have that. You may be saying, where are you going with all this, Pastor? You may be saying that to yourself. What I'm trying to get you to see is the dichotomy between a slave mentality and a kingdom mentality. Slaves are at the beck and call of their master. We can go on vacation, but slaves can't. We can be educated in the best school. Holy Spirit. Slaves can't. We can enjoy the best positions. Slaves can't. And as I was saying to a young man yesterday, I've been witnessing to this fellow for the last couple of weeks. I said to him, the world looks at me like I'm the scum of the earth. I said, but I have the best job that anybody could want. I said, I have the best job because I can watch God's children grow
and take their positions for the last move of God. And he was like, it is. This is great. I know we win. I know. My father's coming back. He's going to slay all those who rebel against him, and he is going to reward all those who faithfully served him.
Amen.
So I don't sweat the small stuff.
It's all small stuff.
Amen. Amen. Sons and daughters are members of a family, and they obey their father because they love their father. Slaves serve out of obligation, and their obedience is based on that obligation. A couple of years ago, we went down to Jamestown, and we went out to, every time we go down, we visit different areas, and we went to one of the plantations, and we listened to some of the characters that were dressed up in the thing, and the woman was telling us that the slaves used to go out there, and she told us how they used to get their rhythm, and how they used to sing their songs. And the master would be up there at the end of the field, and they'd be working the fields, and they'd be singing their songs and stuff. And when the master turned around, they'd stop, but they stopped working, but they kept singing the song. And when the master turned around, they were back working again. I thought that was pretty ingenious. They only obeyed out of obligation, not out of love. My children obey me because they love me. They know I love them, and I will do what I need to do to provide for them, to make them feel secure, to give them the best chance of success. And I am a poor example of a father, because my heavenly Father far exceeds me. He does. As family members, we are members of a royal family. Slaves will never become royalty. Never. Everyone who hears the gospel message, receives, believes it, becomes a royal member of God's family. Everyone. Look at the prodigal. What did that guy do? The father hugged him, kissed him, gave him a signet ring, which signifies authority and power. Only royalty had that. Put a robe on him, gave him new clothes, dressed him up. And all those were like the brother. So, you know, I've been with you all this time serving, working real hard, and you gave me nothing. And the father said, it was all yours. You could have done anything at any time you wanted. And that's where the church is today. We've got to revert that mindset to the prodigal and understand that God has placed a ring of authority, has dressed us up in regal clothing, because ultimately sons, daughters who are heirs, will inherit everything from their father. God professed that it was his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Jesus continued the message and said, it is for the heirs to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Who are the heirs?
We are.
Woo! I am. I don't know about you. I'm speaking for me. And I want what my Father has for me. Why all this? Why am I emphasizing this? Because as long as you don't believe and you're just satisfied with salvation, you are nothing more than what Galatians 4 tells us. You are an heir that is under the tutorship of stewards and trustees. You'll never, ever exercise the authority that God has given to you and to me to become the kings. Why? Romans.
Romans 8:19 says, "For the world, the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God." Why is the creation waiting eagerly? Because it is subjected to the same punishment that Adam did at the fall. God cursed Adam and Eve? No, He did not. He cursed the serpent, and because of what Adam did, the earth was cursed. So once we are restored and we take our position, that curse is lifted off the instant for us to get our act together, church. You are the answer. You are the Joshua generation. And the world is waiting for us to reveal God's glory, God's power, God's authority. But until you begin to exercise who you are, until you know your legal rights and know what your privileges are, you will not exercise those things. And the guys that's been in discipleship with me, what do I emphasize? Be in the Word. What's the Word saying? Why? Because if you know the Word is you, you'll be able to exercise the power and authority and speak those things that are not as though they were, just like our Father does. And then watch what happens. Watch what the Spirit of God does. Pray for the sick, they shall recover. Lay hands on the dead, they shall rise up again. Cast out demons. Anything that you eat shall not harm you. Speak in tongues. Isn't that what Jesus said? Those who believe in me, these signs shall precede them. Follow. Right. You see, you are the signs and wonders. You're pointing the way as a signpost to the kingdom of heaven. And people are wondering about, how did you get that power? How did you get that authority? If you don't know how to use it, then you're still a babe. You're still a child. And God is not coming back for children. He's coming back for a bride that is mature. In God's kingdom, all who come are sons, not slaves. All are members of a royal family. Question is, are you a son or are you a slave? For the Son has set you free, will make you free indeed. Let me read that scripture to you. John 8, 31-36. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in me and my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Then He answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." In other words, it is your choice. Jesus has set you free. He has given you power and authority. It is up to you to find out what it is and use it for His glory. You see, a slave doesn't have this mentality. He's waiting to be told what to do. A king knows what to do. I challenge you, church. I challenge you to begin to throw away the slave mentality and begin to embrace the destiny that is within you, that God has created you for and for the church. It's time for the sons and daughters of the Most High to arise and shine, because He's coming back. And I want to be one of those guys standing there saying, and Him saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your people's attention. Father, I pray that Your Spirit has struck a chord in their spirits today, Lord. God, that they would see that they are sons and heirs to everything. And in it, eventually You will restore all things as it was in the first. Class is in, God. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us how to obey through love, how to exercise His power and authority through love, how to glorify our Father whom we love. God, help us to be bold in our speech. Help us to articulate the gospel message so that many would come into Your house, that Your house would be full, Lord. Father, as we go forth today, I pray right now that we go forth in the power and the might of Your Holy Spirit, God, knowing that we are heirs to a powerful kingdom and we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if You are for us, God, who be against us? Holy Spirit, convict us of our childish ways that we would throw them away and begin to take our place in heaven, in the heavens and in the kingdom. I ask that You bless Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.